Good evening, good evening, good evening. How is everyone today? Amen, amen. How was the exam? Oh, wow. Well, that's great, that's great, that's great. But I did make a few little changes. Y'all saw that? But I figured y'all had it. I wasn't too worried about it. All right, let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you all honor, all glory, all praise, all blessing, all thanksgiving, Lord God. You've been so good to us, Lord God. We just want to say thank you. We just want to praise you, Lord God, for everything, Lord God, that you're saying, for everything that you're doing, Lord God. Father, we just praise you, Lord God, that you're giving us ears to hear you. You're giving us eyes to see, Lord God, what you're doing in the spirit, Lord God. And Father God, you're touching our hearts that we might understand all of these things. We're so thankful, Lord God, for the apostolic. We thank you, Lord God, that it's flowing from the man of God unto us. And we give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to continue with our lesson on prayer and the promises. You will note that from last week, what our author is doing, he's just giving us some examples of promises made and how these individuals prayed and how the promise was brought to pass. On last week, I think we ended. We looked at God's promise to Abraham. We looked at God's promise to Isaac. We looked at God's promise to Jacob. And the peculiar thing about Jacob was that we saw that after God made the promise to Jacob, that he had to work not only on Jacob, but he was working on Jacob's brother Esau at the same time. So that when they came together, you know, what Jacob was dreading, it did not happen. Matter of fact, it was the exact opposite. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at God's command and God's promise to Elijah. You know, Elijah was a prophet, right? Okay, he was a prophet. Let's turn to 1 Kings 18. Now, our author only gives us one verse, but we're gonna read a few of these. 1 Kings 18, and we're talking about God's command. So he gives Elijah the prophet a command, and he gives him a promise all at the same time. Everybody got it? All right. 1 Kings 18. And we see in verse 1, and it reads, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, you got to understand who Ahab was, and you got to also understand who his wife Jezebel was, and the threat, you know, they were making towards Elijah. And so God is saying, you know, to Elijah, okay, there's a famine in the land as a result of a drought. And he tells him, he says, all I want you to do, go show yourself to Ahab. Now, if I knew Ahab was trying to kill me, I would be a little apprehensive about going show myself to Ahab. He says, go show yourself unto Ahab. And here is the promise. He gives him a command, and then he gives him a promise. And I will send rain upon the earth. Now, when you read, and I do encourage y'all to read this chapter because we're not going to go through the whole chapter. But when you read this whole chapter, there are a lot of things that happen in 1 Kings 18. You know, this is where the prophets of Baal, you know, and Elijah was taunting them. You know, you call up on your God. And he even mocked him. You know, maybe he sleep. Yeah. Maybe he didn't say gone on vacation, you know, but, You know, those are the kind of things. And they were calling all day long. They were calling upon Baal. You know, he had set up an altar, and he says, "The God who answers by fire." Amen. All of this is in it. Now, here we got, okay, God has given him a command and a promise. But then all of this starts to happen before the promise comes to pass. Amen. So, like I said, you're gonna have to read it because it's kind of lengthy. What I want us to do is pick up at verse 36. First Kings 18:36, and it says, first I got to tell you, you know what happened, huh? When Elijah built his altar and he poured water on it, and he built dug a trench and poured water in the trench, and so God answered him by fire, amen, and consumed everything. The fire consumed everything. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day." Look at this man, how he's praying. Amen. "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" Verse 40, "And Elijah said unto them, 'Take the prophets of Baal.'" I mean, this is, I mean, he was bad, yeah. "Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. 450, could have been more than that, amen. Verse 41, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, 'Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain.'" Amen. There is a, you know, you're talking about a prophet, you're talking about the sound of the abundance of rain. Verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth," amen, "and put his face between his knees. And he says to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.'" Amen. "And he said, 'Go again,' seven times." Verse 44, "And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop not thee.' 45, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand," now you know, we all know something about this hand here, amen. "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel," meaning he outran the chariot. Amen. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was upon him. Amen. "And transported him." But you see, all of this is just to show you God gave him a command and God gave him a promise. He says, "All I want you to do, go show yourself to Ahab, and then I am going to send rain upon the earth. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. But you got to, what I want you to see here, that during this whole process, well, first of all, some other things transpired. It didn't change the promise. The promise was still there, even though he had to go and, you know, build a trench and build an altar and, you know, he has to kill all of these prophets of Baal. The promise was still there. Amen. And all Elijah did when he prayed, he acknowledged. He acknowledged God. You know, he was saying, you know, you're going to do this. You know, you are God. Amen. Amen. And that's the way. And Mr. Bounds is going to, he's going to keep telling us the same thing about the promise and about prayer and how we have to take a promise and we have to appropriate the promise in prayer. And I shared with you how important it is for us to speak it. Amen. You know, whatever you're believing for, you got the word on it. Speak the word of God. Amen. Okay, so we saw. God told him, say, go show yourself unto Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. The one thing, and we saw that, the only thing that God had promised, he had not given him in the beginning. Amen. Elijah turned from Israel to God and from Baal to the one source of help for a final issue and a final victory. Not until the seventh time, amen, was Elijah's vigilance rewarded and the promise pressed to its final fulfillment. Elijah's fiery, relentless praying bore to its triumphant results the promise of God, and the rain descended in full showers. Amen. The rain descended. That's what God had promised. Now, I got a little, when I read this from our author, I got to say, what are you talking about? He says, our prayers are too little and feeble to execute the purposes or to claim the promises of God with appropriating power. He says, they're too little and they're too feeble. And I said, well, what you talking about, you know? Then he went on and he explained. He says, marvelous purposes need marvelous praying to execute them. He says, miracle-making promises, listen at this, need miracle-making praying to realize them. Amen? Only divine praying can operate divine promises or carry out divine purposes. And, you know, we know that word divine has a meaning, and one of the meanings is that of or from or like God. Amen? Of or from or like God. You know, what Mr. Bounds is stressing here, you know, a lot of times, well, yeah, I guess some of y'all will remember, I said little dad, but do you, you know, it's no such thing as just a little bit. I mean, we have to get serious in our praying and in our believing. You know, it's not just going to happen because you pray one time. We saw here was a prophet, and, you know, he had to send the servant seven times. But you notice he never got up. He never got distressed. He never got worried and wondering, is it going to happen? You know, he said, just keep going. Go seven times. Go seven times. And then on that seventh time, he says, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. Now, who would have ever thought that kind of rain would have come from that size of a cloud? Amen? We have to be steadfast. We have to be steadfast. Our author says that God's promises to his people are great and they are sublime. That word sublime means of such excellence, such grandeur or beauty as to inspire great admiration or awe. That's talking about the promises. The promises, they engender awe. And these promises, they are exalted, and God's purposes are eternal. And we've talked about that before. Amen. He says, so why are we so impoverished in experience and so low in life when God's promises are so exceeding great and precious? Amen. You know, we have all of these exceeding great and precious promises. And he says, you know, our life is low. Amen. And he says our experiences are impoverished. Well, we know Mr. Bounds a little bit, and we know he wasn't going to leave us hanging. Amen. He gives us like three parts of an answer. He says one of the reasons, or part of the reason, is our failure to appropriate the divine promises. You know, the promises are there, but are we asking God for them? Are we praying for them? Or, well, he's going to talk about believing in a little bit. You know, are we believing for them? The other one, he says, it's a failure to rest our faith on the promise. You know, we're not resting our faith on the promise. And then failure to pray with belief. He says these three things, that's the answer. That's why we're so impoverished in our experience, and that's why we're so low in our lives. We've looked at this scripture before in James 4 and 2. It says, and 3, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Amen. Wavering. In other words, you're wavering, you know. You know, I like it when an apostle has said to us on more than one occasion that there comes a time we have to go from believing to knowing. Amen. And that is so important. And it's not going to just happen. You know, you have to spend time with God. You have to spend time with the word of God or the promises of God. You have to meditate those promises. You got to live right. Amen. We're going to see that. He's going to tell us that in a little bit in order to be able to appropriate and receive the answers to all these promises that God has given us. Prayer is based on the purpose and the promise of God, our author says. Prayer is submission to God. And prayer has no sigh of disloyalty against God's will. Jesus prayed, and he gives us the two scriptures, Matthew 26:39 and Luke 22:42. Jesus prayed, if it be possible, y'all remember that, let this cup pass from me. Then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. That's when he's making the point here that prayer has no sigh of disloyalty against God's will. Whatever God's will is, amen. You know, prayer says, that's what I want to. Nothing is sure than the word of God. I made a little note here. I got a lot of parentheses right in here. Written or spoken. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have to, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. We have to understand, you know, God is going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you what he's going to do. Amen. You may not be able to find the exact words written somewhere, but the scripture is going to back it up. So a lot of times his promise to you, he's going to speak it out. Amen. And we're going to see it. I got an example for y'all. He says, nothing is surer than the word of God, written or spoken. He says, that word is the sure foundation of prayer. We pray just as we believe God's word. Oh, my God. Amen. 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 So if you're not believing, what you praying? Prayer is based directly and specifically upon God's, and our author says, revealed promises in Christ Jesus. I have in parentheses the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who has to reveal, amen, the word of God to you. He says, not our feelings, not our merits, not our works. No self-effort, amen. But God's promise is the basis of faith and the solid ground of prayer. Amen? Amen. The solid ground. And then Mr. Bounds, he kind of like, he does a summary, like the last couple of paragraphs. He says, God's promises are dependent and conditioned upon prayer to appropriate them. And he told us that already. And make them a conscious realization. The promises are implanted in us. my parentheses, meditation. Amen. They're only going to be implanted by meditation. They're just not going to just jump in there and lodge itself in your heart. You have to spend time with the promises of God. They are appropriated by us. My parenthesis says released by faith through our words. And they're held in the arms of prayer. And then I told you, I think sometimes Mr. Bowen got a little poetic in it here. I have prayer gives the promises their efficiency. Prayer localizes and appropriates the promises. It utilizes the promises. And prayer puts the promises to practical and present uses. Prayer makes the promises as the seed in the nourishing soil. Amen? Makes the promises as the seed in the nourishing soil. And then this is the poetic part. He says, promises, like the rain, amen, are general. Prayer embodies, prayer precipitates, and locates the promises for personal use. He says, prayer goes by faith, remember the tree, into the great orchard of God's exceeding great and precious promises. And with the hand and heart. Now we know that that heart doesn't mean the fleshy heart. Amen. We know that has reference to our soul, right? Picks the ripest and richest fruit. I mean, can y'all imagine that? Use your imagination. You know, we got this orchard and all of God's promises are hanging on the trees. Just use your imagination, and then you can go in and just pick them off, whatever it is that you look. She over there. She said, and just pick up. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, this is what Mr. Bounds is trying to help us to see and to understand. The promises are there, amen, and they are ours. For the asking, we must believe the promises. We must appropriate the promises in prayer and, you know, speak them out. Thank God for them. Amen. Amen. Prayer goes by faith into the great orchard of God's exceeding great and precious promises, and with a hand and heart picks the ripest and the richest fruit. The promises, like he just goes on and on and on, all these comparisons. Like electricity, may sparkle and dazzle, oh my God, and yet be impotent for good until these dynamic, life-giving currents, he used the word chained, until they are chained, I use the word claimed, by prayer, and are made the mighty forces that move and bless. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we see here prayer and the promises. He's told us already that they're interdependent. You can't just have a promise and not do anything with it. You know, what good is it to just stay there and just look at the promise, look at the promise, look at the promise? Amen for the promise. You got to pray, he says. Amen. Then he said you can't really pray effective prayers unless you know the promise. Amen. You know, that's why those people who do not spend or have not spent a lot of time in the Word of God, you know, you'll hear a lot of, if it be thy will. Spend time in the Word, and you will know the will of God. Amen? And then you can go to God boldly, your Word says. Amen? And then, you know, spend time, meditate it, until you believe it, until you know that this is God's promise to me. Amen? And so then when you go in prayer, after that, you're just going to be saying, I got it. Amen. Thank you for it. We go from asking, amen, to thanking. Asking to thanking. And then I have here. Now, this is not in your book. Amen. Putting everything into perspective, I said, we have learned that all the promises of God are yea and in him, amen. Right? You got to know that. All the promises are yea and amen. I didn't put it's already done. Yes, I did. I got it down here. Amen. And that's according to, that was 2 Corinthians 1:20. I believe that's the one that we looked at, right? we have learned and know the importance of praise and worship. Remember when I told you, I said, you can't just learn something for the moment. Everything, it's building, it's building, it's building, one thing upon the other thing. And then you got to take it all with you. You got the promise, but you still got to praise. You still got to spend time praise and worshiping and thanking God. Amen. We have learned this, and we know that God is looking for the true worshipers, right? John 4:23. And then I said, we know how to release our faith through our words. Putting everything in perspective here, according to Mark 11:23. Remember all those times he said, say. Amen. And then I said, we know that God is faithful. If God said it, amen, then it's already done. And I put in the spirit. And that's according to Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, right? If he said it, he'll do it. If he's spoken it, he'll make it good. We have to know that. And then we have to know that, you know, it's the same part here, that it's already done. You know, Ephesians 1:1-3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When we read the word of God, when we spend time, we have to know it's already done. Excuse me. It's already done. And all God is asking us to do is to appropriate it, receive it. That's all. Just receive it. You know that this is what God is saying to me. I believe it and I receive it right now. All of these exceeding great and precious promises are ours. Jesus died so that we can have life and that we could have it more abundantly. Amen. The Bible speaks, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So wherever the enemy is in our lives, we have a right through the promises of God, through the word of God, to put a stop to it now. Amen. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to wait for it. Now, my example, believe it or not, God's promise to Apostle. Amen. Most of you have heard it, but I just need to repeat it. Amen. God told Apostle down in Darrow, he says, I'm going to do it in Darrow. Does that sound like a promise? Amen. So God made promise to him. He says, I'm going to do it in Darrow. He says, I'm going to send him from the east and the west and the north and the south. He says, I'll buy them cars and put gas in it, and they will be glad to drive. Amen. This is what God told him down in Darrow. I have no idea how many members were there at the time God told him that. Amen. And what did Apostle have to do? He had to know that this was God's word to him. It was the vision. It was the vision that God was giving him. He believed the vision. He received the vision. It didn't happen overnight, but he just held on to the vision. So I asked God one day, I said, well, Lord, I said, you told him you were going to do it in Darrow. You know, a lot of times, you know, God tells us things in little bit of pieces. I said, Lord, did you ever go back and tell him what it was? You know, and, you know, God began to explain to me. He says, everything, and I made a note, he said, everything you see, the buildings, the land, the planes, airplanes, the people, he says, it was all a part of it. He said, and God is not through yet. Ah. Amen. Amen. I mean, this school, think about the school. You know, none of this was here when God said, I'm going to do it in Darryl. It is good for us to see these examples that our author is giving to us. But my God, it is so much better to look at our man of God and see the promise that God made to him and how God brought the promise to pass. But it took something on our apostle's part. He had to believe God. And like I share with y'all all the time, apostle is a man of prayer. He has always been a man of prayer. Word of Life Christian Center is a praying church. Amen. We're going to see a little bit later how Mr. Bounds talks about the purposes of God needing prayer. Amen. I mean, it's just not gonna happen. Why? Because we got an enemy who's trying to block us and trying to stop us. And we have to pray and appropriate and believe God for all of the promises that he has made unto us. We are in a place. Apostle is telling us it's a new day. Amen. It's a new day. It's a new dawning. It's a new horizon. And it's a new season. As we are praying and as we are believing, God is going to begin to speak to all of us. Whatever miracle, amen, we need, whatever sign, whatever wonder, amen, God is going to begin to speak to all of us, amen. And all we have to do is believe and receive. Amen. But we got to spend time with it. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to happen just like that. We got to spend quality time with God. A few years ago, Apostle told us, he gave us a scripture, Proverbs 23:26 term. And I just stumbled up on something. It's like, oh my God, all this time. Proverbs 23:26. Not in your book. So don't go looking in the book. Online students, it's not in the book. Nothing I said in the last 10 minutes is in the book. Proverbs 23:26. And I'll never forget. You know, and I said, oh yeah, Lord, uh-huh. But you know, that was before I really got an understanding of my heart. Amen. Now we know that the heart all can also refer to our soul, right? Can also refer to our soul. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thy eyes. I don't know why all this is on me tonight. And let thine eyes observe my ways. But look, this is, y'all not going to believe what I found. I went to the Message Bible. I like the Message. And I began to look at the Message Bible. Now, I'm not sure what version this is in my phone, probably old. So y'all probably got a more updated one, but this is what I got. And I want to read to you what he says. Amen. Proverbs 23:26. Hallelujah. Okay. Proverbs 23:26 in the Message. We read it in the King James. He says, I'm still in the King James. Still in the King James. I thought they got to that mighty easy. It doesn't do that for the Message. Okay. All right. He says, dear child, listen how he starts it off. Dear child, I want your full attention. Amen. Please do what I show you. Amen. That's all. You know, he says, you know, in the King James, it says, my son, give me your heart. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, Lord, I give you my heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. But when you read it here, dear child, I want your full attention. This is what God is telling us in this season, at this time, with what God is doing, his purpose, amen? Give me your full attention. And don't just give me your full attention, because, you know, a lot of times we pay attention, right? But then he says, please do what I show you. Amen? So if he wants us to do what he's showing us, that means he's going to be showing us some stuff, huh? Amen. Amen. He is going to be showing us some stuff, and we are going to have to be able to do what it is that he's showing us. Amen. All right. Okay. That's enough of my little soapbox. Y'all got that? You getting it? Okay. Y'all got that. Okay. I shared that with you. There was something else. I think I'll just put it off till a little bit later. Amen. Amen. Okay. So then we're going to go on into chapter 3. Can y'all believe that? Book 3, chapter 3. And the only reason it was so easy is because the title of the chapter is More Prayer Promises. He's still talking about prayer and the promises. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. I didn't think I was going to get out of book 2. I'm going to be honest with you. I said, oh, no. But that's the way it is sometimes. You know, sometimes you have so much that you want to share. God is saying so much to all of the instructors. He's saying so much to us about these classes and about the students, preparing us to give to you what it is that you're going to need in this time. Amen? All right. More prayer promises. Mr. Brown says, the great promises find their fulfillment along the lines of prayer. He said that before. Amen. The magnificent and sanctifying promise in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 28, it's a promise finding its full, ripe, and richest fruit in the New Testament. It is an illustration of how the promise waits on prayer. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 and 28. Oh, okay. Okay, in verses 25 through 28, he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Amen. He's talking to Israel. Amen. Then he's telling them, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, believe it or not, you know, he's talking about New Testament. I mean, he's making promise here in Ezekiel, and that's what Mr. Bounds is telling us. He's making a promise that did not receive its full fruition until the New Testament, after Jesus had, you know, come, and after he had died and we received him and we were born again. That's what he's talking about, our being born again. He says, concerning this promise and this work, let's look over in verse, I did 36 and 37. Mr. Bounds only refers to verse 37. But in the same chapter, verse 36, he says, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Amen. Amen. So what he speaks, He does, right? Verse 37, thus said the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. I'll be inquired of, meaning they're going to pray. Amen. That's what he's saying. They are going to pray. Inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Amen. Mr. Brown says, concerning this promise and this work, when we look in verse 37, God definitely says, I will yet for this be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. The more truly men have prayed for these rich things, the more fully have they entered into this exceeding great and precious promise. The promise realized, again, is dependent on prayer. Amen. God, Mr. Bounds says, I tell you, he gets a little heavy at times. God has never put his spirit into the realm of a human heart that had never invoked by ardent praying the coming and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, a person who, nope. You're not praying. You're not acknowledging the Holy Spirit. You're not asking him to help you. You're not praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, he says God has never put his spirit in the realm of a human heart, you see, that has never invoked by ardent praying the coming and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He says a prayerless, my parentheses again, human spirit has no affinity. And we're talking about, when we use that word affinity, we're talking about a spontaneous or a natural liking. Or a sympathy for someone or something. Amen. A prayerless human spirit has no affinity. Listen at this. Oh my, this is going to help us here. This is going to help us to understand some people we keep looking at. Amen. A prayerless human spirit has no affinity for a clean heart. Amen. You know, they're not concerned about it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not there to convict them. You know what I'm saying? He might be trying every day. He might be trying to convict them. But, you know, they haven't built their spirit up. You know, they're not praying. So they're not sensitive to him. So when he's saying something, they're not hearing it. So that explains why we see some things. Amen? Prayer, Mr. Bound says, and a pure heart go hand in hand. Amen. Purity of heart. Now remember, that means your mind. That means your imagination. You can't be thinking all of them ugly things in your imagination. Oh my God. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Amen. Purity of heart follows praying. You know, like if you're going to spend some time praying, you know, God is going to be able to do something with your heart through the Holy Spirit. Amen. While prayer is the natural, spontaneous outflowing of a heart made clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Purity of heart follows praying. Purity of heart follows praying. While prayer is the natural, spontaneous outflowing of a heart made clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. God's promises are always personal and specific. Each believer can claim the promise as his own. Amen. See, the promise itself are always personal and they're specific. But then it's up to us to claim it as our own. God deals with each one personally so that every saint can put the promise to the test. Mr. Bound quotes Malachi 3:10. Prove me now. Y'all know where that one come from, huh? Prove me now. Herewith says, well, we better look at the whole thing. You know, we don't want to just look at the prove me now. And we know it's about tithing. You know, we all know that. Malachi 3:10. And it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then he says, and prove me now herewith, with the tithe, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Oh my God. Oh my God, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's a promise. Amen. Y'all see that? That's a promise. That's a promise. And a lot of times, you know, I think what we do is we just pay our tithes. We don't say nothing. Amen. We just sit down. We just pay the tithes, and we don't pray. We don't ask God nothing. We don't speak over them. You know how we say it? We release our faith. Why? Through our words, right? Through our words. And you know, and we can just put God in remembrance of this as we pay our tithes. You know? And God has been talking to me about it. You know, Apostle said something about the windows are open. The gates are open. The doors are open. Y'all remember that? You know, he's been saying that, you know, to us for quite some time. And I think what it is, you know, we're still praying, open the windows, Lord. Open the doors, Lord. Open the gate. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, God is saying. But the door's been open for y'all a long time, you know. But again, we have to spend time with God to get instructions from him, you know. When to walk through this door, Lord. You know, how to walk through this door, Lord. Amen. But it's open. The windows of heaven, amen, they're open. The doors are open. God is waiting on us to appropriate it. Amen. 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 So we see that's a promise. Mr. Bounds points out, he says, Jeremiah once said, speaking of the captivity of Israel and of its ending, meaning when was the captivity going to end? And he was speaking for Almighty God. Amen. In Jeremiah 29:10, you know, God said, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Amen. A promise. Can you see that? A promise. But look how long it was going to take. 70 years. Amen. 70 years. But Mr. Baum points out, he says, but this strong and definite promise of God was accompanied by these words, coupling the promise with prayer. In verses 12 and 13, then shall ye call upon me. See, in prayer. And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me. That we go again with all your heart. Amen. I want y'all to see something here. This seems to indicate very clearly that the promise was dependent on prayer for its fulfillment. But it wasn't until Daniel, we got Jeremiah, and now we got Daniel. You know, God says, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. Captivity is going to be over. Amen. But Mr. Bounds points out, he says in Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3, as the time of the captivity was expiring, it's all, the 70 years almost up, Daniel set himself in mighty prayer in order that the promise should be fulfilled and the captivity be brought to an end. He says it was God's promise by Jeremiah, but it was Daniel's praying. Amen. Daniel's praying almost 70 years later. Amen. So what did Daniel have to do? Daniel had to go back and see what the promise was. Daniel had to say, well, look, it's almost 70 years up. Let me go to God. Let me pray about this. Amen. He says it was Daniel's praying, one, that broke the chains of Babylon captivity, two, set Israel free, and three, brought God's ancient people back to their native land. Amen. So again, we see the promise was made, but prayer had to be put in place. Amen. Amen. So the promise and the prayer. And we see that the captivity was brought to an end. Amen. 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 Y'all be blessed. I'll see y'all next week. And we will probably finish book 3, chapter 3, and then we'll decide where we're going to go on.